Wizard Magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 332. Back after a week off, because we all recharged and refreshed and read lots and lots of books. So this is probably going to be a four-hour podcast with the amount of stuff we have to talk about.
Colin's clearly delusional.
That's a podcast.
Okay. So we're back. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Spencer.
Pat.
The gang's all here. I asked Adam to come, but he said mean things and made finger gestures. You know.
Gang signs?
Maybe. He was just kind of doing stuff. I don't know what he was doing. Flailing. So, I totally forgot to look up any news. I don't remember hearing any news.
They cast their Batwoman.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Ruby Rose will be Batwoman at CW. I think it's good casting.
Yeah.
I think she looks the part. She was a badass in John Wick 2.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She was the mute?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I showed the picture, my wife's just like, she doesn't have red hair. I'm like, it doesn't matter, Batwoman wears a wig.
Yeah.
Hair can be dyed.
That's fairly easy.
I don't think anyone has that shade of red hair anyways.
No.
Amber Heard doesn't have red hair, and she has red hair in the trailers for
Mera. Her hair is really red in that trailer.
So what? Mera's head is really
red. On the page versus in real life, it looks very different. Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah.
See on the window the handprint.
Oh, child's hand.
Kids.
They started filming Bloodshot.
Oh, okay.
Vin Diesel posted something on Twitter or Instagram or whatever.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
The biggest news coming out of Star Trek Las Vegas. Do you know what it is, Colin?
That Jean-Luc Picard is back?
He's back, baby. Ooh.
How's he going to fit into Discovery, though? I don't get it.
It's a different series.
Oh, okay.
It's a different series.
I was all confused.
No. The head of CBS is head of CBS All Access. I am concerned about this thing they said. That they want it so there's always something Star Trek on at any given time of the year on All Access, which is fine if it's all, like, quality programming that has its own, niche. But if it's just a oversaturation like it was in the 90s, which then led to Enterprise getting canceled after four seasons and no Trek for several years, then no thank you. But Picard, did you see the video of the announcement?
No.
You saw it, Dave?
Yeah.
Man, there will never be an announcement that was more unexpected than that in one of these conferences, because there were rumors that they might find some way to incorporate him in Discovery, like some sort of flash forward or something. But to have him, walk out and just say, Jean-Luc's back, no one could have possibly expected that.
If you could pick one thing the fans wanted, that's it.
Yeah.
And
Not
Worf?
You're going to see some Worf.
Yeah. Get the gang back together. Yeah. The
show may focus on him, but there's no way you're not going to see, cameos from Riker and Worf and all of them. Especially because it's the one
McCoy?
Show where DeForest Kelly was in the...
Scotty?
Was in the pilot of Next Generation.
Okay.
But he has since passed. Scotty was also in an episode of Next Generation.
Wow. Yes, I didn't know that.
Wasn't he in two?
I think he was just in one.
Oh, okay.
Whoopi Goldberg?
Well, he was also in a Next Generation movie, Generations.
That's right, yeah. Okay.
But in the episode he was in, he saved himself by trapping himself in a transporter buffer, and his ship was trapped on this Dyson sphere. Do you know what a Dyson sphere is, Colin?
It's a sweeper?
It's a structure that's built around a star.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just been tracked.
Sarah Spencer.
But that was huge news. I'm super excited about that.
Data's probably the only one they can't really work in there.
Well, because Data's dead.
Well,
technically, he's dead.
Yeah.
However,
because
at the end of that movie, at the end of the movies,
okay. Yeah, I know.
I thought you said Davis.
Data 2?
Data? No.
No.
So there was always Data and there was Lore.
Yeah.
But then they introduced B4. Before. Get it? Yes, it's pretty dumb. I agree, Colin.
I get it.
But B4 is around, I guess, technically.
Yeah, that was Nemesis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the only Tom Hardy movie where he didn't have a bad mask on and he couldn't tell what he was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he was in that Warrior movie without a mask.
Okay.
That was a good movie. Yeah, Data sacrificed himself. But everyone else is still around, just, you know.
Well, I meant the
Data,
fact that
Data and Tosh ER, that you can't have those two, and that's it.
Well, okay, but even if you had
the two people that had sex, gone.
That's, oh man, it's like a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about Riker.
Kirk's still around, so that doesn't...
Riker screwed everything. No, Kirk's dead.
Picard buried Kirk.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, sorry.
In Generations. Kirk was trapped in the Nexus. Picard got in the Nexus.
The Dyson
found,
Nexus?
No.
Oh.
Dyson Sphere is a real
okay.
concept.
Okay.
And Picard found Kirk in the Nexus and convinced
like
him to come convinced him to come back out and then got killed by Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, bastard.
And buried him on that planet under some rocks and put his little communicator.
Was he going, I'm singing in the rain?
No, but he did get to ride a horse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was how he decided to go help Picard because he wasn't scared when he tried to jump that chasm.
Exactly. Yeah, Pat. See, why don't you be more like Pat?
There's not enough room in this world for more like me.
Once Pat moves to Florida, be more like Pat.
Okay. Saw Mission Impossible 12 or whatever it was.
7.
That was good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I heard it was good. Was the mustache worth it?
Not really.
You made me a
Mission Impossible would have worked just fine if he didn't have a mustache, so...
I will admit, the mustache looked pretty cool, though.
But it wasn't, like, integral or anything.
But it definitely looked like tough guy mustache.
Yeah.
Is he a cop?
No, he's a CIA agent.
See, it works, but if you're a cop, you have to have that mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was good. Enjoyable.
If you're a private investigator, mustache. Yeah. Does the new Magnum PI have a mustache?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got like a goatee.
A goatee?
I don't get that.
It's not.
Yeah. It can look like a big mustache.
No.
Stupid reboots.
It was no Tom Selleck mustache. No.
No.
That's
what is though.
Right. I hear you. Murphy Brown's coming back. Woo.
No mustache.
Alp's coming back.
Alf's coming back.
Okay.
A weird one. Is there any other news?
Not that I can think of. There was a little blurb that ties into a question. So I saw this today.
A question about Spencer?
No, it had nothing to do with Spencer.
What was the news blurb?
No,
yeah.
It had nothing to do with Spencer. But it did have to do, if DC was smart, this is from Nick, says, if DC was smart, they'd scoop up James Gunn and direct something in the DCEU. I did see that headline that they were
looking
or talking.
It.
Yeah. And then he asked, what movie should Gunn direct? Well, I think there's a real easy one.
Yeah. Metal Men.
Ooh, that'd be good. I was thinking Black and Gold, or Blue and Gold.
Oh.
Yeah, that would work.
Since it could, have that light touch.
I don't think they would do it, and I don't think he would do it either.
He's getting paid, they said, between $7 and $10 million just to sit out of Guardians 3, so...
I'll take that money to sit out.
Yeah, but that's apparently what's kind of... He has to negotiate with Disney what he's going to get before he can take on any other projects.
Okay. Oh, DC said there are... looking at doing a Supergirl movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What? What's wrong with that?
Because the one from 84 didn't do so well.
Right, so they have another chance.
It did. You're going to compare it to a movie that came out 30 years ago?
Just saying.
So
I could compare it with what they've put out so far.
I mean, did you compare Captain America to the old one as well?
I did.
Or Punisher?
There's nothing wrong with that first Punisher movie.
Except that it was Come called on. Punisher.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't have called it Punisher,
or Flash. There are plenty of old, super cheesy.
No, yeah. I don't know. It seems like you can't get kind of the core right. Don't try to go out on the fringes.
I disagree. And that's how Marvel succeeded, by doing the fringes. Like, Iron Man was not a
well, no, but they big okay, name. But with what they had, it wasn't like if their first movie was Guardians, it wouldn't have worked. Kind of had to prime the pump for that and get people understanding the universe first.
I don't know, because Guardians was pretty separate when it started. Like, there was nothing that really tied into Guardians when it came out.
Well, they're in Thanos.
But even then, Thanos was still just, you know, hinted at or mentioned briefly.
I
feel with how DC hurt themselves, because they tried to just, you know, quickly give us the core and this united universe instead of...
They gave us the core without actually showing us origin stories or building the characters up. I mean, you had Man of Steel. I don't think you need to show a Batman origin story other than how they did it at the beginning of Batman versus Superman. All right, 30 seconds, his parents were dead, he's Batman. Move on. I don't know. And it's also difficult for me to say, because, like, I know who all these characters are. I don't need to see their origin stories. Yeah. But
Shazam trailer looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. Aquaman trailer looked good. But all their trailers look good, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hang on. We did have a question involving Tim. So before
a Tim question?
Yes, there was a Tim question. Oh.
That's crazy.
Is Tim really the comic book sommelier? Yes.
Oh yeah, he is. I couldn't pick a cover without Tim.
Shoot, I know somebody.
It's good radio right now.
Sorry.
You all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Just color in bags. Don't think these bags just, you know, turn yellow on their own.
I think they do if you buy them from the printer that way.
Yeah, it costs more money. It
costs a lot more money.
I know it does.
Okay, I could have sworn somebody... I apologize. Oh, no, I know who said it. Okay. We'll start with this one first. Now, this is more for me, but has there been any direct market retailer experienced blowback from the customers that purchased the Walmart Giants for their kids? For example, the content in Batman number one has Harley Quinn decapitating someone, and the Nightwing villain slashes police officers' throats open. Since these books are in the Pokemon aisle, I thought they would skew a little younger. No, I agree with you there, but I haven't
that is
heard.
Surprising.
I haven't heard a word. So, yeah, sorry, I haven't heard any.
I haven't seen the books in stores.
I saw the books at Walmart, the first issues, and I swear the new stories.
Mm-hmm.
By Bendis and Tom King, they weren't in those
first
issues.
Yeah, that's the film. Like,
they weren't in the first.
They don't
first.
Start until issue three, I think.
Oh, really? Okay, okay. I made it sound like it was issue one.
That's why he's the comic book sommelier.
Thank you, Tim.
Tim for the win.
And he just disappears back into the
the voice of reason.
Back into the back issues.
Voice of Tim. Okay, now I don't. There was another question that involved somebody saying bye, Tim. But I apologize. I can't find it. I failed.
Person
I failed this podcast.
Finally got up the courage to send in a question.
anybody still watching Arrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is an Arrow-related question, so that's why I can't answer it. But this is from Comic Book Pit, another podcast, a local podcast. Hello, Dan and Scott and Jared. This is for Arrow viewers. Do you think Felicity ever has a dress-down day, or does she dress every day like she's going to a cocktail party, and it doesn't count when she occasionally gears up to go out in the field?
Which is funny, because when that show started, they like played her off as being this super nerdy, super awkward, like alternative kind of girl, and she certainly doesn't like look the part, and maybe, you know, you don't have to look this the way your persona is, but.
Well,
yeah,
they have the flashback episodes where she's goth.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, she always looks like she is, you know, ready for going out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then whenever you see her, like, you see her mom, too. Because, like, because her mom kind of dresses almost like a little bit more father, you know?
Well, it's funny, because one day we're watching, and his sister would always wear, like, these half shirts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I looked at my wife, I'm like, I work on a college campus, and I couldn't tell you the last time, like, I saw, and it's primarily, like, a dance school. Like, I don't see people walk around in half shirts ever. Yet she's walking around in half shirts, like, constantly.
I don't tell you.
Do you see people in half shirts a lot?
No, but to be honest with the people I work with, I'd be a little disturbed if I did.
I'm just saying, it's not something that people actually wear, I don't think. I'm just saying, I don't think it's that's something people actually wear in real life.
I drive past the college campus every day. And I've never seen anybody walking around in that. So,
yeah. Colin tried out in the 90s once, but it didn't last long.
It was the mesh.
It's more of a tube top. I don't know.
I've always been a fan of the tube.
My brother works at a different college than yours, so I'll ask him if he's seen any
Giants. If I'm going to see it, like that's the place. So I don't think it exists at all. It's just, I watch these shows, I'm like, no one dresses like this.
Well, I don't know how many, like, nightclub bars do you go to.
Spencer, she would dress like that everywhere on the show.
It's a Star City thing.
It's a queen thing.
Tim, would you wear a half shirt?
Well, look, she wore half shirts, he wears no shirts, so.
No?
Tim
got very quiet. Yes.
I think I've seen. Yeah, I think I would say I've seen more dudes in downtown Pittsburgh with no shirts. Than.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, seen more dudes in downtown Pittsburgh with half shirts than women with half shirts.
Never seen a dude with half shirt.
Okay.
In downtown Pittsburgh, I've seen. Like on TV.
Okay. Well, yeah, but I mean, city addresses that way on TV so doesn't count.
Yeah, it's true.
That show's confusing anymore, anyway.
Arrow?
Yeah.
I still have, like, 8 episodes left from the previous season.
Oh, so you're, like, a season and a half behind?
No, the most recent season.
Okay.
It's been on my DVR along with other stuff, and I just haven't been motivated. So, every time I think about watching something that's sitting on the DVR, then I'm like, well, I could watch that, or I could watch Glow.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Glow.
And they still haven't renewed it for season 3 yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't leave us hanging.
Which I don't know why they wouldn't. Compared to some other shows, that one has to have very low production costs.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got so many Emmy nominations. It has a fan base there. It surprised me.
Well, that might be why, though, because production costs are going to go up now that all the girls know it's such a light show.
They're in Vegas. It's more to produce in Vegas.
They're not going to actually produce it in
you
Vegas.
Only have... There's only a handful of the girls that you really, like, couldn't get rid of, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got rid of that one. Boom.
Brought her back.
Yeah, I know.
Reggie.
Vicky Viking,
yep. It was good. The second season was good.
Any other questions?
No, that's all the questions that I could find.
Man.
Sorry.
There was a question about why Spencer's not on the webpage, but
That's Spencer's fault.
Laziness.
Spencer doesn't want to be on the webpage. He's too good for the webpage. Whatever. Anybody read anything?
I'd give you Adam's spot.
Oh, yeah. Since he's abandoned us. Abandoner.
I didn't realize it was like the Four Horsemen. There was only a couple of spots.
Adam's in a better place now.
It's like the farm upstate.
Flushed him down the toilet.
Spencer. What'd you read?
Green Arrow.
I didn't read it.
It's the start of what I think is going to be the new, like, permanent team, I think.
The Bensons.
Yeah.
I like that special they did a couple months ago. Or the annual, I guess.
Oh, did they do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was pretty good.
Wasn't that the tie-in to something? Was it metal?
No, this was a separate thing.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I had a lot of books to get caught up on after being gone. And I was already behind on my books from before leaving. But when I was on vacation, I read a lot of trades, and that was fun.
That's good.
So what'd you read?
When I was on vacation?
Yeah, while you're talking.
That's fine. I read Preacher Book 2.
Okay.
I read...
Have you
not
read Preacher before, or...?
No, yeah, it's my first time reading it. I read the Jill Thompson Wonder Woman, Heart of the Amazon book. I read The Last Days of American Crime.
I like that.
I read Lady Killer, Volume 2.
Okay.
Adele read Lumberjanes, Volume 1. I also read, there was one more book. Oh, Southern Bastards, the most recent volume.
Oh, you got caught up on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I brought down twice that many trays with me.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We had to do other stuff too. Yeah. Fly Tim. I was hoping to get through the next book in Alamore Swamp Thing, but didn't make it that one.
Okay. Back to Green.
What did you think of Preacher so far?
Oh, I really enjoyed it so far. Yeah, I like it a lot. Although, I didn't plan things out properly because. You know, we were down there for, 9 days, and, you know, we had to deal with this whole time. But halfway through, friends of ours and their kids came down, and I just started reading Preacher, so it was just, like, sitting there.
Yeah.
And, like, at one point, one of the kids was like, this book looks really weird. It's like, oh, yeah, this book's not for you.
Yeah, yeah, you shouldn't be looking at that.
What's this vampire doing to... No.
All right, so this newest issue of Green Arrow, it opens up with a... corrupt businessman trying to shut down this building. He's gonna blow it up, you know, for the space, but there's still a couple holdouts, you know, that didn't want to leave. So Green Arrow and Arsenal has to go in and save them. This issue, there's a lot of talk about, like, Green Arrow and trying to leave like a little bit of a legacy with Arsenal, and how trying to look at him more as a partner than a sidekick, and about how in Justice League the Martian Manhunter gave him that box with whatever is in it that could take down the Justice League as
Oreos,
as so he thinks he's gonna try to trust Roy with that as kind of just like as if something happens to him, he could be, you know, the next one, you know, in line for that.
But I would have thought that would have been Canary.
Yeah.
Is she in the book at all?
Yeah. Okay. She's it shows them, him trying to, like, build up a new base.
Mm-hmm.
And, you see her, she's, like, in, like, a soundproof kind of room, like, kind of working out, doing Canary cries and stuff like that, so... but then, what else? Oh, there's a new serial killer on the loose who's going after, like, the 1%ers and stuff like that.
I just realized you're wearing a Green Arrow t-shirt.
I am. But, yeah, I like where this first issue is heading, so... I was kind of worried because, like, these past couple fill-in people they've had for the book have done, like, solid, you know, solid work on it, so I wasn't hoping that, you know, you have these couple good fill-in stories, and then when the ongoing creative team goes on, it, you know, goes downhill, but it seems like they're keeping pace with it, so...
Yeah, the one issue they did a while back was really good, so I was hoping that this would be good as well. I started reading their Birds of Prey book when Rebirth started. And I didn't dislike the story, I couldn't stand the art, at least in that first arc, so I dropped it, but, you know, I
can't think of the artist for this series, but it's good, it's really good.
No, I'm looking forward to reading, I had a ton of stuff.
Justice League?
I read that, that was good.
Yeah, I liked it.
What?
I thought Tim left.
He didn't make it out, I don't think.
No, he came back.
But yeah, it was like... cool,
yeah, it was
villain
point of view.
I read it just before coming here. I dropped it off at Karate and read it in the car before driving over.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. They said they're going to do this every so many issues. Yeah. Have a Legion of Doom issue, but yeah, Luther centric, really good.
It was a good way to see why he suddenly, you know, shifted back towards being a bad guy, because if for a little while there, I was thinking like I like Luther bad guy, but yeah. It didn't seem like earn him suddenly, you know.
Right. Also explains like Sinestro.
Yeah.
And different stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Though it's still not quite. It would have been nice to see him, how he snagged the Joker into being, you know, being a part of the team.
Right.
Maybe we'll
get there.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that, because I did like see that same thing. That does kind of worry me though, that this same story is going to be kind of dragging out for that. Like, at you can have like every 5 issues. So, unless if it's just
maybe, or
a
it might play out in the pages of the regular one, give you more, a little more understanding of why he's doing what he's doing. Like, now we understand a little more about the Ultraviolet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, both writers are, you know, Snyder and Tinian, you know, both good writers, and the art was great.
Oh, yeah, Doug Mankey art. Mm-hmm. That was really good.
It was awesome, so. From the week before, the Flash, 51, that was, anybody who was a big fan of Wally West Flash, just kind of like a must-read to use, just kind of almost like a love letter to the character and going forward, and just really kind of going over like his history and, you know, pre-New 52 history and all that stuff. And they, one of the first things where I've actually heard them talk about the Sanctuary, that, you know, that's supposed to be a part of the new Crisis.
Oh, okay.
In Crisis.
Okay.
We finally kind of thought having a couple.
There was a mention of Sanctuary in some other book, too.
Doomsday Clock? And then.
Yeah,
it was
Doomsday Clock.
And I think there was another one, too. But I can't remember what it is at the moment. But it's nice to finally see them kind of hinting at that stuff a little bit. And then, again, from last week, second issue of Amazing Spider-Man. Peter Parker, they're letting him... what's the college he went to?
Empire State.
Yeah, university is letting him come back to work on, like... his doctorate degree,
redo it.
Yeah, and it happens just to be turned out that the Lizard, aka Kirk Connors, is the teacher there, and he's able to control his lizard form. He's able to change at will and stuff like that.
You've been trying to control your lizard form for a long time.
I have. It's hard. It's hard.
So the Taskmaster,
what do you mean right now, do you?
And
weird.
Black Ant, I think is the character's name, show up in the classroom because they're trying to steal what Connor is working on, which turns out to be the device that zapped the spider that bit Peter back in the day. So, Peter's trying to find a way to change into his Spider-Man clothes without anybody seeing him so he can take care of these bad guys. So he kind of knocks over some of these chemicals to cause a big green cloud, and that's where you think that, oh, that's where he changed, but then it turns out the end of the issue ends with the Spider-Man helping up Peter Parker from the ground. So it's like, who's this new second Spider-Man? Which, I don't know how much they get into that in the issue that came out this week, but, that's it. I think some of the other stuff you guys read, so.
Dave!
The Quantum Age from the World of Black Hammer. Number 2. This takes place in 3041 with the Quantum League is like the Legion of Superheroes,
in Martians. There was a Martian invasion 25 years prior, and now Martians are banned from Earth, and they're being publicly hung. If the science militia finds them. So this story, it's kind of a little bit of a flashback. We have the Martian Treb, and it shows how he escaped from Earth with his family, but now he's back and back on Earth in 3041, trying to find the Quantum League. And he finds two members, Modular Lass and Herb, who's kind of like a floating armadillo. And Modular, she's kind of recruiting members of the Quantum League again, but she wants to assassinate the president of Earth.
That's not good.
And you get...
God damn it, Pittsburgh. Sorry, Dave.
That's okay.
Jordy LaForge, LeVar Burton, retweeting from Pittsburgh CW about some racist white girl that says she shouldn't be arrested because she's a thoroughbred, clean thoroughbred white girl.
I saw something about that.
So the president of Earth
had,
trying to get back into it. President of Earth has a connection to Trev.
To this girl? What?
And
I'm all confused.
And Modular Lass. And I won't give that away, but this has been a great story so far. I love the world building Jeff Lemire is doing in this. And we get an origin for Barb Alien, too, who's in the Black Hammer book.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Trying to stand up and I hurt. I'm getting old. Thanks for reminding me.
Dark Arc.
It's hard.
Number 9. Drew that path.
I got it. I don't know what reading it out.
Hey, you buy like 3 books a week.
Yeah. It was 5 last week,
This is with, we meet Echidna, the mother of all monsters.
She was in last issue.
Well, she kind of has it out with Shrey in this issue.
I know she was like summoning all the monsters to her.
Yeah, they start to go toward her, and she, you know, she grabs Shrey with one of her tentacles, and they have a conversation before she throws him in the ocean. And she was meant to die. Echidna was meant to die in the flood. The angels tell Shrey this as he's drowning in the water.
Okay.
And it's his, you know, they put it on him. It's his responsibility to make sure she does die, because, you know, she wants to take over Shrey's Ark and the Earth. There's also a little bit of a flashback of Shrey letting people on the Ark who helped build it.
Right, because they're food.
And it's interesting because there's this mother and her son, and he lets the mother on, but he doesn't let the son on. And you're meant to think he's not doing the right thing, but he's trying to spare the child from being fed to the monster. So
instead he gets to drown,
yeah. Right. But this has been a great series. I really, really enjoy this.
That was like when I first started. I'm thinking, okay, 6 issues at most. Like,
yeah.
What kind of story can you really tell here? But
he's getting a great story out of it.
There's still a lot you can do with this, you know, before you get to the end.
Yeah. Oh, there is. Oh, yeah. It's really good. The arch is fantastic.
What did you guys say they were on?
It
was 9.
It's number 9.
So has
the
first trade come out yet? I think so,
I would imagine so. I would think so. I don't think I've seen it around, but
I don't know.
What do I know?
Because I don't think it's a real popular book around.
Yeah.
Home,
yeah.
I have to imagine that there's a trade for it.
Yeah.
Give me a look.
I have it in issues. I don't care.
Also last week, Star Wars number 52. The fleet, the Rebel fleet's under attack from the Imperials because their systems have been sabotaged and their bay doors won't open, so the ships and the X-wings can't get out. But they find out that if any ships outside broadcast a signal to the ship, they can open up the bay doors. So they have to Han Solo has to get this message to Luke somehow. So they stuff C-3PO in an escape pod, to send him over to deliver the message. And when he gets there, he's missing his lower half, so he lost some limbs again. And the interesting thing is Luke, so they get the message.
Wait, is it missing or just detached?
I think Chewbacca detached him when he, like, picked him up and threw him in the escape pod.
All you really have to throw in there is just the head.
Yeah. But he has his chest there. But the interesting...
Docking complete.
That's what it felt like. Oh, God. Man, my hip has not hurt before, so... Great.
Colin broke his hip.
Old Man River.
The interesting thing is Luke invokes the name of Jyn Erso when he's on the suicide mission, and he calls his... This is when he starts calling the squadron Rogue Squadron, which...
The braided one.
Is what on the Battle of Hoth is what he calls. He's Rogue Leader, and that's what, you know, they're Rogue Squadron, so that's where they first get that name. So that's kind of cool.
It's neat.
How about from 2 weeks ago? After
The
Descender.
So yeah,
32.
I cannot recall like what was last week and what was the week before.
Yeah, so no, that's okay.
So I thought there were things I was reading from last week that were actually from 2 weeks ago. So.
Yeah.
But Descender was great.
This is the last issue.
No, yeah, before it goes into Ascender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was neat, though, because did you read the epilogue? Not like the comic, yeah. But like his yeah.
Yeah, I did read that.
Saying how he often comes up with the ending of the first stories very early on, and he had an ending for Descender the whole way through. But as it got closer and closer to the end, he said it felt like kind of a cheap ending.
Yeah.
And ended up just... using this idea that they had for the like flash forward variant month where Image wanted to show like 25 years in the future of their world, and liked the image so much that they put together that he decided to make that the ending and launch it into a whole new book.
It was really good. It was a fast read. It just really barreled along. Yeah. I thought, and get some endings with Effie telling Andy she loves him.
Yeah.
And the Driller moment was pretty cool.
Oh, the Driller moment was awesome.
Because
he's saying, first, like, he sees the Hermans, and Driller's a real killer, so you have to get the Hermans. And then he pulls him in, he's like, now we're even.
Yeah, that was great. And you get a little bit of an epilogue for what the Ascender is going to be about with
Andy's daughter.
Bye, Andy's daughter, Mila.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim. Bye, for real Tim. This time.
And the search for Tim 21. So.
We just lost our Tim 21.
It's a great, we'll get it's Tim a great series. Tomorrow. I think people
Tim
will.
Tim 22 is an asshole, Colin. Did you not read Descender? He's a murderous prick.
Great.
Jeez.
I think people will be reading this, you know.
Do you even read comics?
For a long time.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to Ascender.
Yeah, I guess we got 6 months, they said. Or
yeah, they
said
like early 2019.
Okay. And did you read the Marvel Toon one, Spencer?
Yeah,
I did. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I did.
Since Fantastic Four... number one came out today. Just
it was a real surprise they killed the entire team in the first issue. They're replacing
this is Marvel 2-1 number 8.
Oh, but, I'm sorry. I was talking about Fantastic Four.
No.
Sorry.
Ben and...
They have Wolverine since they're bringing them back.
Yeah, it's the Hulk Wolverine. Exactly. That's what's coming in issue 2.
John and Benny. John and Benny. Ben and Johnny are on the planet, the Battler planet.
Yeah. Ruled by anybody's ever called him Benny.
John and Benny.
Getting old.
Well, they had fake names.
They were, they were like Dan and Jimmy or something.
Something like that,
They've lost their powers. So they've been separated from Reed and Sue for so long. They're working these menial jobs. So it's a more of a, like a character piece because Ben finally tells Johnny that Reed and Sue are probably dead.
Yeah.
And he took him on this adventure, you know, lied to him. Take him on this adventure.
I've been really enjoying the Marvel 2-in-1 series. It's been
great. Yeah, it's been good. I don't know. It's too bad Jim Chung didn't draw this issue because I don't know if the art was fit the story.
Yeah,
it's as much as maybe something else, but it still was a great story.
Yeah, and Johnny kept on burning himself because he was used to being able to grab hot things because of his powers.
He keeps forgetting he doesn't have powers.
He always had
anymore.
Bandages around his hands and stuff like that. Ben was flirting with the waitress in the local diner and stuff like that. So, because it made it seem like they were there for a while.
Yeah, they were they were prepared to be there for a while because that the girl they were with stole the.
Yeah.
That's the other part. She stole the multi-sect.
And Doom,
go off by themselves.
I think Doom kind of got. Is Doom there with them, or did
I don't
he?
Think so.
I think he got stuck with her, trying to go after her.
Yeah,
and he gets,
Doom's not there with.
Because I can't remember how this issue ended though.
I can't remember either.
I thought it was because I remember them fighting with a house burned down.
I don't think there was a
I thought somebody or something showed up at the end, but I couldn't remember what it was.
I can't remember. I'll have to look though. But it was a good issue, great series.
And it seems like after the Fantastic Four show back, like the family comes back, that it's just gonna be basically the same thing, just with different characters. One issue you might get Mr. Fantastic and Thing issue, story, then you might have the Invisible Woman and the Thing,
Right.
So,
I thought they would find them before the Fantastic Four series started.
Yeah,
but
that's what I was kind of wondering about too, but I guess you can't time these things.
Can't play in these things.
It's a shame.
Josh, that's all I got. So you got Dave.
All right, here's one from 2 weeks ago, Justice League Dark.
How was that?
I liked it. So, magic is broken. It starts off with Zatanna performing a show in her father's, theater, and she has to pull a rabbit out of a hat, and she pulls the rabbit out, and it's all, bloody and dead, and then, this, big, tentacle monster thing comes flying out of the hat, and
all the kids are screaming.
Yeah, people think it's all part of the show, and she's freaking out, and Wonder Woman, comes in to try and help, stop things. Well, you're stepping your books, Dave. So magic is broken, and Wonder Woman is trying to put together this Justice League Dark team to try and deal with the threat, but no one seems to want to, join her. And it seems like it's because they view her as being this, very much in the light, ivory tower character, whereas the magic side of the universe is very much, underground. So her team initially has a version of Kurt Langstrom who's kind of working for the government, a reformed Kurt Langstrom is what I was looking for, who looks very, meek, because he's on a different, variant of his formula, but he has the ability to take the normal formula to morph into his more massive variant. The only person aside from him that she really has that is willing to help out is Detective Chimp. Zatanna is very apprehensive about helping until she attends a meeting with all of the other main players in the magic world. And sees a vision from her father when she goes to visit the Tree of Wisdom, that she realized things are quite as bad as they think they are. So finally, she and Swamp Thing join up, and there's a neat moment of how Swamp Thing kind of pops up. She's this meeting with all the the magic people, and she's standing in the back of the room next to this potted plant, and all of a sudden realizes there's like an eyeball on the potted plant as Swamp Thing's just kind of like eavesdropping. So then she, you know, seeks him out. But it was...
I was going to ask, how did they... That I might have blanked out there for a second. Did you mention how, like, they got Swamp Thing, like, or was that it? Like, he just kind of was eavesdropping?
He was eavesdropping, so then she went and found him.
Because I know you're a Swamp Thing guy, so I was wondering how you thought they handled the character.
Oh, I thought really well. Yeah, I thought his character was done really well. She goes to the tree and finds him sitting there next to the tree, you know, wisdom... in Salem, and you know, initially she's mad at him because there's this big huge ordeal going on, and she thinks, you know, you're just eavesdropping back the room instead of actually being there and helping out, and he's saying he's not sure which side is actually right in their approach to this, whether it's one woman's approach
the
or
the only character that would have me kind of interesting to try to check out. Justice League Doc. I didn't pick it up, but like he kind of had
I really liked it.
Tempting to...
The stuff with Detective Chimp was good. The stuff with Kirk Langstrom was good. The Swamp Thing Zatanna stuff was all good, yeah.
Is there like a leader yet, or is it like
Wonder Woman is kind of the leader. However, the previews catalog has solicits for like this event that's going on in that book. Coming up in... Is that for November?
October.
And it makes it seem like Wonder Woman is no longer on the team. Which makes you think, did they just set this up with Wonder Woman to initially like, get people on board with the book? But yeah, she's the one that's definitely trying to put the team together. But it's good. I really enjoyed it. Adventures of the Super Sons. You want
to
read that?
I forgot to take it home.
Really? So it was funny because I didn't have a chance to read it. I mean, I did read it before I came here, but initially when I was driving down, I didn't have a chance to read it, and we're driving to take a Delta Karate, and...
Don't read and drive.
I actually, during a red light, was trying to, like, read a couple pages, but it wasn't working out because I tried to read something. I was trying to read Justice League Dark in a red light, and then Adele was mentioning things in the back, so I didn't get a chance to... Regardless, you shouldn't do it anyways, but...
I always do it.
If it's a red light.
Dave doesn't even do it at the lights. He just does it while he's on the road.
I couldn't do anything besides drive.
Listens to comics on tape while he's driving.
On tape. Oh, nice. Holograms go up on the dashboard. Mm-hmm. His HUD. But I asked her, like, do you want something to read? Because normally she brings a book. And she's like, yeah, I guess. It's like, well, you might like the Super Sons book. And she loved it.
Cool.
She read it and asked me, you know, when the next one is coming out. But it was fun. It's...
You said it's bi-weekly, and they went, no.
Is it bi-weekly?
No, it's not.
Oh. Damn it.
He would have dropped that. I know, that's why I said it.
But it takes place before the Superman special number one, so it takes place before everything with, you know, or I guess it was the Superman special number one. That happened before the actual Superman number one. But so this takes place right before the whole Jor-El showing up and wanting to take John away. So it's them. They got their headquarters back up and running, and they are, you know, going to spend the summer going on missions fairly unsupervised because I guess Clark and Lois are away for a portion of the summer, so John's going to be staying with Damian, but I guess Bruce is gone as well. So
poor Alfred.
They're going to be doing whatever they want. And it was fun interactions between the two of them. Very lighthearted. Then we find out there's these villains from a different universe. And it looks like it's the kids of the villains that we know. So there's like Kid Deadshot. There's Rex Luthor. There was Brainiac 6, a few others, but it was good. It was a fun issue. The art was great. Adele said the funniest part was whenever Damian took control of this giant statue of Superman and made it punch John twice and step on him at one point because he knew that John was, you know, near invulnerable.
That sounds very funny for John.
You have to read it, Colin.
Okay.
Batman 52.
I read that.
Yep. I read that.
I've been liking this.
I like this little story.
I like this more, you know, him like being very self-aware and realizing, you know, kind of the impact that Batman has.
Yeah. Well, and it, I think there's some self-reflection there as well. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe my methods are not...
Yeah.
Oh, you know... It, yeah, I stopped the bad guy, but, you know, just like I was a scared kid, maybe that's why they're confessing.
Yeah.
It's just like, just stop beating me, I'll tell you whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... I thought a really cool moment.
So what's going on, for anyone who's not reading it, is that Bruce Wayne has jury duty, and it is the trial of Victor Freeze, and a lot of the evidence is based on discoveries that Batman made whenever he examined these three murdered women. But it looks like the evidence may have been... tampered with or planted,
yeah.
To try and frame Victor Freeze. And while everyone in the jury is very quick to say, Batman found this evidence, Batman surely is correct, Bruce Wayne is arguing against Victor Freeze being guilty, because I think he realizes that, maybe this evidence was planted, maybe Victor Freeze confessed just because he, was scared of having to deal with Batman, anymore. So he's trying to now kind of make the case for why they should question the evidence that Batman presented to the police.
Yeah,
but it's a slower story arc. It's not a ton of action. Like as he's making the arguments to the jury, we're seeing flashes of his interaction with Freeze, which looks brutal.
Yeah.
But the art's great. The Lee Weeks art mm-hmm. is fantastic. The covers have been great. But it's an interesting follow up to
it's a really different Batman story.
Yeah, to that issue number 50.
And I like the in this issue you got a lot of little page of him having little interaction with each of the different members of the jury,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
just having like those talks about they're having those talks about Batman. With Batman.
Yeah, and they were neat, like, especially the one where the guy's talking about his kid who was being bullied, and this kid managed to get a gun legally, and...
Yeah.
And
Gotham
keeps going. He was angry at the kid for getting this gun, and took the kid to the cops and made the kid tell the cops what's been going on with the bullying, and the cops were just like, well, it's Gotham, keep the gun. And it's just... It's neat.
What it reminded me of, and maybe because it's Tom King, but... The issue of Mr. Miracle, where he's sitting there peeing in one of the apocalypse pits and just BSing with the guy
yeah.
next to him,
yeah.
that's what it felt like.
It is what it felt like, yeah, I agree. From the week before, there was Mira, Queen of Atlantis, and the finale to the current arc of Aquaman.
Okay. I read Mira, but I didn't read Aquaman.
It was good. You want me to know? I don't. I can not talk about it.
You can spoil Aquaman, so I'm not reading that. But I did actually read Marin. I really enjoyed that.
I really enjoyed it. So I was torn about something though. In the beginning of this miniseries, I felt like they were focusing more on Orm than her.
Yes.
Which bothered me because this was supposed to be like a miniseries about her.
Yeah.
But I did like the take on Orm, where he spinning out of Forever Evil. Where he did, save that woman and her son, Aaron and Tommy,
mm-hmm.
and actually fell in love with her and decided that, these people that he hated, like the surface dwellers, suddenly he realized, like, maybe this is, the right life for me, and he was happy. And then gets pulled back into the politics of Atlantis and thinks he has his calling and goes back. But he was very conflicted. And in this last issue... He had to fight Mira to the death, and whoever won, Zabel would recognize as being the ruler of Atlantis and lend their armies to them to help take down Cormrath. So the whole time I was expecting because Orm eventually seemed to warm up to the idea of Mira and was helping her out,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that maybe he through this fight they were going to have, that he was still going to come around and join forces with her. But he was very much like,
nope,
I'm going to kill you. I'm essentially selling my sister to the you know, leader of Zabel to be his, you know, reluctant wife, and, you know, brings Zabel and Atlantis together, and I will take my place as ruler of Atlantis because I'm the only person that can do it, and F everything else.
It was very Game of Thrones.
It was, and it just...
like her grandmother was like, oh, well...
And it made sense, I guess, but yeah. It kind of bummed me out because I liked the character development for Orm and how he, you know, found this life on the surface and looked very conflicted about leaving them. So to have it end where he's just now going to be locked up. But regardless, it was really good. Like, it definitely solidified Mera as being a straight-up badass in her own... in her own right. And then leading into Aquaman, so Arthur and, you know, his cohorts, you know, try to overthrow Cormorath. Cormorath has the power of this, you know, ancient demon that's been locked up by Atlantis for years. And they can't seem to take him down, and it looks like he is going to win, and he's going to take down the tower and crush Atlantis, which is what this, you know, demon wants him to do. And just when it looks like all hope is lost, in comes Mera with her army and, you know, saves Atlantis. Aquaman's the one that, you know, eventually, like, you know, kills this demon, but definitely not without Mera's, you know, intervention.
Okay.
So I kind of like that they presented her as being the hero of this story, the one that saved everyone, and really solidifies her, you know, place as being the ruler of this, you know, this nation. Now, on the flip side, when Arthur was dealing with the Dark Knight's metal stuff and was wearing the 10th metal armor,
mm-hmm.
he made some wish about wanting to not have to, I guess, be split between two worlds and find a balance where, you know, both his worlds are kind of merged together.
Yeah.
And as the demon is fleeing, it makes comments about how it was the only thing that was stopping his wish, and now he has to live in this misery. And apparently his wish with the 10th metal is now coming true, and it brings Atlantis back up to the surface. So Atlantis rises up to the surface of the water. I think it was kind of a stretch because Cormorath has been in power for a little while, and Arthur hasn't been out of Atlantis for quite a while because Atlantis was under that Crown of Thorns thing. So Dark Knight's metal would have had to have occurred before he was overthrown from power mm-hmm. in Atlantis. So if he made this wish, why didn't it happen before? Why did it suddenly, you know, happen once this demon got released and then the demon was holding it back? Like, there's plenty of time for this wish to come to fruition. But regardless, it sets up the next stuff. And I think it's crossing over Suicide Squad mm-hmm. next.
Which started today.
Did it?
Yeah.
Called Sink Atlantis.
Sink Atlantis.
Hmm.
But it was a good ending to that whole, you know, story that's been going on for a little while. I've been enjoying Dan Abnett's run on this. I think they say officially that Kelly Sue DeConnick is coming on it after he is done.
Not that I know. I don't know official, but possibly.
I thought they did around San Diego, but. And I think that might be it for me. Let me just... Oh, one more I'll talk about, because I think Dave may have read it. Royal City, number 13,
yeah.
Dave?
Yeah, I read that.
Well, is this... This wasn't the last issue,
was
it?
No.
One more issue?
One more
okay.
issue, yeah. Number 14 is the last one.
Okay, I saw one person...
I was kind of reading it as the last issue, too.
Well, the issue before, I thought he said that was the penultimate issue.
Yeah.
But then this issue definitely doesn't, like, end things.
Yeah,
it ends on a kind of a cliffhanger. So
yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was setting up for some
new volume
at some point or what.
I don't know, because it's weird. Because when he started this, he said the series could go on forever.
Yeah.
Or a long time, at least.
It could go on forever.
Yeah.
A long time, at least more than
14 definitely
issues.
Hasn't overstayed its welcome yet. Like,
but,
I would continue reading this
really,
book for a while.
He's
my favorite writer.
This is like
in
the
comics.
Most. This is the most adult series I think I've ever read, as far as.
Really, you read all those jungle fantasy books.
I'm talking about as far as emotional
you don't
maturity.
Really read those as well.
No, yeah. No,
as far as emotional
you don't read the
maturity.
No, I'm joking.
I know.
Dave would never read one of those books. Well,
you've offended your customers that do read those books now. But no, yeah, it is. It's a very, you know, mature, like, depiction of a kind of splintered, you know, family.
We get some things are kind of wrapped up.
Yeah, some things are.
With the dad finally wakes.
That was a nice moment between the dad and the mom.
That was great.
Where they kind of both come clean about their improprieties over the years.
Yeah.
And, it was nice seeing...
And the brother is a Patrick right in the book. And
Patrick's right in the book. Tommy's the one that passed away. Yeah. What's the other brother's
Richie.
Name? Yeah, Richie kind of coming clean to his sister about needing her help.
Yeah, and just him talking to Tommy, and Tommy's urging him to commit suicide. My goodness.
So when this whole series first started, issue number one, I thought, okay, something like, you know, supernatural was happening here.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, like, maybe this is just all, like, grief. Like, they're all just, you know, seeing him, and it's just, the, you know, how they're dealing with grief and the loss. But then, two issues ago, whenever Tommy's, you know, daughter, estranged daughter, comes and stays in his room, and then suddenly, like, sees him, like, well, this can't be just grief then for her to suddenly now see her own version of Tommy out of nowhere, and she looks super surprised by it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what's going on.
I don't
know.
Maybe something, you know, something else is going on. Maybe it will be revealed. Very interesting.
Yeah. The stuff between Patrick and Greta is all good. Like,
the reason he can't come up with ideas for a second book is he stole it all from Tommy.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, he did write a second book. Canoe Heads was the second book.
Okay.
Because he said only Greta and his mom liked...
Okay. Like, so this is his third one.
I think it's third or fourth book.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I didn't see that coming. That was makes a lot of sense. That was great.
Well, I think they hinted at that he stole stuff early on because he had Tommy's notebook back in like the first few issues.
Okay. I'll have to go back and reread those.
Yeah, it's really good. But the art's fantastic. The story's great.
It's great.
I love whenever he does all the you know, creative work on his books. I shouldn't say all books. I think there's someone else on there who's doing lettering, and there's other people involved. But when he does like the bulk of it, I get bummed out when it ends so soon. But I understand it because how long can you sustainably really be the writer and the artist while you're also doing all these other projects as well? But
he's a workaholic though. That's all he does is write. Yeah. I'm sure
if I had to pick one like the best creator in comics right now, it'd have to be Jeff Lemire. And that's it for me.
So you won't get his Sentry book?
His Sentry book?
At Marvel?
I read his Hawkeye book at Marvel. I tried reading his Astonishing X-Men. Or no, was it Astonishing? Was it?
Extraordinary?
Yeah.
I started reading that. I did not like it.
That was bad.
I read his Moon Knight at Marvel, and I enjoyed that. So I followed him to some things I would not normally have gone to.
I was calling you out on that again, the Sentry book as well.
Is he really writing a Sentry book?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like two or three issues in, something like that?
Yeah, just two.
Does anyone really care about Sentry?
No.
No one else does either.
Sorry, that was rude.
No,
it's
alright.
What I said?
No, what I said. I said no. You said, does anybody care? And I said no. Pat!
Yeah.
You have anything to add?
I do.
Cool.
Mr. Miracle.
I was wondering if anybody was going to mention that.
What?
Stuff happens.
Stuff does happen.
I can walk away.
No. There's nothing we could really say because I don't know what happened, but yeah.
It mostly revolves around.
He's trying to decide what to do.
Debate on what to do with Jacob.
Yeah.
Do they give him the dark side and end the war or not give him the dark side?
Bart is kind of really mad at him.
Yes, because he is saying, well, I can save billions by giving him up. Plus, he gets into this ball at some point with a bunch of swords.
Yeah.
Wait, Scott wants to hand him over?
He's trying to decide what to do, because he's like, he can end the war and save all these lives if he just gives the kid away, but...
It's this kid.
Yeah. So he even talks about with the checkout guy, get the grocery store. He's like, I don't know what to do.
It was Party City.
Oh, okay.
He was going to get like all the stuff for the kid's first birthday party.
Hmm.
So that's the other odd thing is there's clearly a lot of time has passed because it seemed like they had the kid and then they went to this peace conference. But apparently not.
Mitch Garrett's cover for that book was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was the Darrington had the awesome cover. Darrington was the Dark Side cover.
Oh, I like the other cover.
You like the other cover? Mm-hmm. Okay. With the Tom King art?
That one had Tom
King? That one had Tom King. If you look in the background behind him, there's like a picture
of
the horse.
Picture. Okay, yeah.
Or it might be Crypto or something, but yeah. Okay. That was.
It's Crypto.
Yeah, it was Tom King. That was his first published art.
So I guess that means that he was also the one that drew Funky Story.
Possibly.
Because it was a the 9-panel page. It looked like it was drawn by a child.
Probably kicked.
Have you ever see his sketches, like he posts on like Instagram and stuff, or like whenever they're just stick figures?
Okay. Yeah, it probably was him. I don't know if you noticed, but Scott wore a Sheriff of Babylon T-shirt.
Mm.
Thought that was kind of
nice.
Cool.
Yeah, Mitch likes drawing all that stuff in.
Just little Easter eggs.
Mitch, you know, my buddy Mitch.
Yeah, so like this one.
Absolutely, yeah.
But
no, really good. I what happened? I don't know, but it's enjoyable.
Try to take some of this.
Hmm? No!
And the last one I'll talk about is actually from 2 weeks ago, Doomsday Clock.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was good.
That was really good.
I don't know what happened. No, that was excellent.
That was pretty
good. It's
like,
getting better and better. And
yeah.
I love the transitions between the marionette on the floor and then her and fantastic.
They did a good job really like fleshing out her and Miles.
Yes. That was fascinating.
Background.
Her dad. Oh. Ugh. Awesome.
Her dad was clearly like too old to have her.
Right.
Yeah, he was like 75.
But that was really... Well, I think they were trying to take like a little bit of a Geppetto vibe.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely what it felt like.
But yeah, no, that was really good. Their backstory, and then a lot of stuff in the present, taking place in the present. But that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first time she garroted somebody, so that was pretty cool. Didn't explain how he can manifest things.
The only thing I didn't like is when you saw where all the villains were kind of, gathering.
Okay.
Some of the villains did not look anything like how they've looked in a long time.
Yeah.
Especially Riddler. Yeah, Riddler looked very much like old school Riddler.
Like Adam,
Frank Gorshin. Yeah, I agree.
Take the one in the knee.
That was the only thing that kind of took me out of it a little bit. I was like, what is going on here? Because it's supposed to be in the same universe.
Right, normal continuity. Because the Joker looks like the Joker. Not Cesar Romero.
Yeah.
It would have been funny, though, too, had they drawn that with the paint, with the mustache.
That
would have
been funny.
It's really good. Something interesting, though, that I didn't realize until... I think it might have been Bleeding Cool. So... If you open the front and back covers, there's a letter, and essentially it's spelling out Doomsday.
Oh, okay.
That's 13 letters. There's only 12 issues.
Hmm.
It's spacing out so that there's going to be one letter per book.
Hmm.
So I'm wondering if that means there's going to be like an epilogue book, or we're going to end up with a 13th issue or something like that. Or maybe he changes the spacing for Clock. But it was interesting.
Hmm.
So
that's it?
That's it.
So nobody read Bone Parish? Dave?
I didn't.
Oh, really good. This is Cullen Bunn did this one. I believe it's Aftershock. Yeah, it's true. But basically there's a new drug down in New Orleans, and basically this family is making it, this daughter has concocted, where it's basically the ashes of dead people. And people are snorting them and getting their memories and thoughts and things.
It's not healthy. I snort dead people.
Pretty much.
Is that like iZombie?
And so, but it's the hot new drug, and she's getting like requests, like people want musicians and poets and things to have their memories and things. So her brothers and stuff are having to go and raid these other graves and things to steal
things. Okay, so they're grave robbing. They're not like, right. killing people.
No. They're it's grave robbing. Yes. Okay. But now the
That's
one
slightly better.
Right. The one twist that wasn't in this issue but was in the solicit was that the one danger that nobody realizes is that the dead then try to take control of these people. The more they do it, the more they try to latch on and come back and take over these people.
Yeah, but I'm thinking if you're doing a bunch of different people.
Right, right. But there was one really, really neat twist to it where the head of the family, the mom, she's always talking to her husband. Well, it turns out he died and she only has a little bit of him left. So she, like, snorts him to talk to him and stuff like that. So that was a really interesting twist.
Okay.
But yeah, it was really neat. Different, you know, definitely different. I haven't read anything like that before, so that was really neat. Yeah. Infinity War Prime, you probably heard about it. In this one, the mysterious Infinity, I think is the name of the character. I don't know what the name of the character is, but she basically beheads Thanos at the end. Dun, dun, dun. And then it went into Infinity Wars number one. And I didn't read it, but it was revealed that it was actually
Gamora
was the person. So.
What?
Yeah. What? I know. But isn't she dead? I thought she was in the stone. Okay, whatever.
She killed Star-Lord.
Did she?
She did.
Okay, I didn't read it.
That wasn't even a spoiler. Like, they showed that
that's
image.
Okay. I also read Mr. and Mrs. X number one, and I enjoyed it, but it was 2 weeks ago, and I have no recollection of what it's about. But it was much better than I expected, so... I don't know what that means, what you can glean from that, but I did enjoy it more than I expected. We had a request from James, so I specifically read this book because he wanted me to talk about it. Sadly, it was 2 weeks ago, and my memory is faulty. But it was New World Number One, which is a huge book by Alice Coate.
Huge.
And, darn it. He did Luther Strode. He did the Ghost Rider books.
I was thinking Justin Jordan?
No, the artist.
Artist.
You're right there. New World, it's right on the wall, fourth shelf down.
Trad Moore?
Yes, thank you. Trad Moore did the art on it. And it was much different art from him. Much more like traditional style. But it was really good. Basically, you have this guy who's kind of like an anarchist. He got this job through false pretenses, goes in and like plants a virus in this major company, doing all sorts of damage. There's this girl who's like this ace cop, but she won't kill people, and like when they're arresting people, it's on TV, and it's, you know, future, but and people are, you know, oh, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, take them out, you know, thumbs down, but she refuses to kill any of the people she's catching.
Man.
Yeah. And her dad's upset with her and doesn't want her doing that, and he assigns her to go with the number one cop, who's like just a killing machine. Well, she's not thrilled with that. She goes out to the bar where she hooks up with this guy. They have a great time. Then all of a sudden the next day she finds out her assignment, and it's the guy. It's the anarchist that she has to go. And she's like, oh, crap. So that'll be fun. But it was really good. It was huge. It was $4.99, but it was one of those ginormous Image number ones. So it was really good. It was a neat book, and I want to see where that one goes. And then one last one that I can't believe nobody talked about, but it was Action Comics 1001, which I thought was really, really good.
I also thought it was really, really good.
It's exploring the a little more Metropolis-y than Superman, where this is continuing on the story of the Arsons. Where at the end of Man of Steel, the kid came forward and said that it was Superman doing it. Well, it turns out now that he was actually paid by somebody to say that to kind of taint Superman.
I think we all knew it wasn't really
right,
Superman.
But now he's tainted as he's helping investigate. They're like, oh, well, you're, you know, I can't tell you this because you're a prime suspect, stuff like that. It's going.
You know, you've saved the world a thousand times over, but
exactly.
This one kid said you started a fire. So we're gonna blame him.
Yes, but and it's also going into the Daily Planet and about the new writer there on the City Beat, and there's also a new gossip columnist. And then it did a really neat thing where there's this group of criminals meeting in Metropolis, but you can't really have crime in Metropolis because Superman hears and knows everything. Well, they have like this lead cylinder that they all get in to have meetings.
Yeah.
Which was kind of neat and kind of goofy at the same time.
Which they have like a fire burning inside.
Yeah, yeah. It was a little odd. But so they have this meeting and the guy is basically saying who's lighting the fires. You know, the head guy is really mad. And there's some lady that's, like, above them. I don't think they revealed who she was yet.
No.
But, you know, she knows. And because it's bringing undue attention to all of them. Because the guy was trying to do it as a distraction so they could do more of their illegal stuff. But the head people really didn't like that. And then they introduced this new... not villain. That's not the right word. Fixer or whatever. It's this... What was her name? Blood... Cloud or something like that?
Red Cloud or
Red
something.
Cloud, who took this guy out and then basically said something. And then the little teaser at the end was who is the Red Cloud, and it gave four people in the book that it could have been.
Yeah, like the two people from the Daily... Well,
right, the two new... The Right, it's either Lois,
the fire chief,
the new city editor who they kind of introduced in the Man of Steel, and then this the gossip columnist.
Yeah.
So... any four of those would be very interesting. So, yeah. I mean, at least it's not just going to be random person, so it's going to have some time. So,
I don't know why.
Off planet.
Yeah, I don't know why I have.
But then she apparently she showed up at the end. That was her typing. Supposedly, that was her typing at the end, saying the secret story of Lois Lane or something like that. I don't. That's what I took from the end. That was her at the end typing.
Oh, I thought that was that Grossman columnist.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. That wasn't clear. Mm-hmm. So. I do want to say Patrick Gleason art, very different from anything I've ever seen. He normally sometimes gets the big kind of manga eyes on the kids and things like that. This was really clean. There was one page of Superman that I actually went looking for to see if it was available to buy. Because I remember his art wasn't that expensive, and I was really thinking about getting a Superman page before. But there was one specific page that I just thought was outstanding, and I went to look for it, and I couldn't find it.
Superman looked like very like big and stoic.
Yes, it looked Superman. Yeah, it was really, really good.
I said it before the podcast. I've been very pleasantly surprised with Superman in Action Comics so far. I was very nervous about Bendis being on both these books, but he's found a nice balance between like the action in the books and the conversational moments between the characters. It never feels like it drags on too much.
Yep.
All of it feels appropriate. The art's been fantastic. The covers have been fantastic. It's been great.
Yep. Very pleased. So that's all I read. I already have five read for next one, though.
Yay.
So what's coming out next week, Colin?
Books. There are books coming. Lots of books. Aquaman 39, next part of Sync Atlantis. We have Archie Meets Batman 66, which sold out immediately and is already at a second print. And I ordered a lot. I'm really surprised at that. I mean, it's good, but that was craziness. We have Astonishing X-Men Annual Number 1, which is actually just the third issue of Rosenberg's run. Batman 53, so we'll move. This might be the last part of the trial.
Okay.
Batwoman 18, the last issue of Batwoman. Cable Deadpool Annual, because you loved him in the movie, you'll love him in the comics. Crowded Number 1, this is a new one from Image. I believe this is the one where now you can have assassinations paid for by crowdfunding. If there's some guy you really don't like, you can do a crowdfunding thing, or a GoFundMe to have him assassinated. And this guy, somebody decides they don't like him, he doesn't have any money, so he has to pick like the lowest defender on the Defend app to protect him. So that's what this one's about. Edge of Spider-Geddon Number 1, you want it. Extermination Number 1, this is the story about the young X-Men, which I am assuming, since both X-books are ending, the end of this will lead into Uncanny X-Men. The Girl Who Danced with Death, this is the next part of the Millennium Saga, and I think this might either be based on the newest book or on that I just saw a trailer for, or new story. We have The Hunt for Wolverine, Claws of the Killer, last issue of that, number 4. Infinity Wars, number 2, continuing this story. Justice League, number 6. Magic Order number 3, that's been really good. For Josh and others, Ninja K number 10, new story arc. Pearl number 1, this is from Bendis. This is the story of a girl who becomes an accidental, I think like an assassin for the American Yakuza, I believe. This is the Bendis, one of the Jinx World books.
Stupid crossovers.
Sorry. Seven Soldiers by Grant Morrison Omnibus. I'm just excited about this because I really enjoyed Seven Soldiers, so it's going to be cool to have an omnibus of it. Star Wars Beckett, which I believe is the Woody Harrelson character from the Solo movie. Terminator Sector War, number 1. This is basically a second Terminator was sent back at the time they came back to get Sarah Connor to take out a rookie cop who'd become something in the future, and she's on the run.
Which, by the way, in the photos they've released from the new Terminator movie so far, she looks like a badass still. Linda Hamilton.
She's not all hugging up on big furry cat people.
No, she's like...
Okay.
No.
Just checking.
He's referencing a Beauty and the Beast live action with Ron Perlman, also a badass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hellboy.
Even when he doesn't have a cat costume.
Hellboy was eaten by a kaiju monster and still survived.
So he's got a big fist. Fist of Doom.
Jealous?
Yes, absolutely. Volition, number 1. I forget who this is from. Sorry. And the last one
He's ready. He's cocked and ready to go.
Weatherman, number 3. This has been a really interesting one. This is from Jody LaHoop, who did Shirtless Bear Fighter. A podcast and book club favorite.
Never read it. Josh.
You didn't like Shirtless Bear Fighter?
I didn't read it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if you didn't like Shirtless Bear Fighter, just get out. It's crazy. I even have action figures coming.
Oh, did you end up getting them?
I don't know what it was, but I had zero interest in that book at all.
You're crazy. It's a shame.
Bacon. And the more you guys talked about it, the more I was like, I don't give a shit about this book.
Bear Punch.
Flapjacks.
Yep.
Rawr, 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 rawr. The bears. It was good. So,
can you read it?
Yeah.
I'm with them.
Always the quiet ones.
So nothing going on. We book club the end of the month, actually on, I believe the 31st. We're doing Preacher Volume 1. So I have them in stock. I have more coming. If you need it, but that's a good one. And that's about all we have. I don't really have anything other plans going on in August. We have the early September is always the grand, the birthday party sale. So we're just going to kind of roll through August. I'm going to work on getting lots of books priced and all sorts of fun stuff going on here. Still getting fine tuned. But if you need to get a hold of me, the website's Pittsburgh Comics. Email Colin at Pittsburgh Comics. If you have any podcast questions, Facebook, Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram is at PGH Comics. And
what's the point special this month?
Point special is Vertigo. Since Vertigo is having a big anniversary and the return of Sandman, I decided to go with all Vertigo books. So double points on all Vertigo.
Which books are you highlighting?
Vertigo books.
I mean, like, any certain Vertigo books you're highlighting?
Nothing specifically. Well,
I'm just curious.
I will. I should get back to posting those. Yeah. I mean, we need to redo the display, but, you know, we'll get stuff up. You know, Hellblazer, Sandman.
Captain America?
No. That's because nobody fixed it. I was gone for the weekend. I wasn't here. So,
man. Where are you at?
We went to Erie for the weekend with the family. A good time was had. So we'll get to all that. I think that's all we got.
How have the changes been?
Good. Everybody seems to really like the counter, the changes back there. Yeah.
What about, like, the kids section?
Yeah, I think we're, especially by having them up on top, I'm seeing a lot of turnover in the books. There's a lot more. We need to do I don't want to say a better job, but as we sell one, we put something else up there. So lots of spotlighting, which is good. Just making sure people are aware of what, you know, what kind of books are out there for the kids. And the kids, by able to being able to see more, they walk up and tend to grab.
Yeah.
So that's good. I think that's going to be a really effective section for us. We just got a little more tweaking to do over there, moving that one last bookcase, but it involves taking everything off, moving it, putting everything back on, and then readjusting the shelves. And it's just like, we'll do that next week. So,
So I think that's all we got. Let's see. Who's Spencer?
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.